Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your warnings, Lord God. Thank you for preparing us for the things to come. Ask, Lord, that these warnings would go far and wide to save a lot of lives, because it's clear that that's what it's all about. That people would draw close to you and walk under the blood and escape these judgments that are coming. And we thank you for it so much, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to continue on with God's warns of coming pestilence. This time I think we're maybe turning a little more positive direction as far as how to escape this thing, you know. We call this revelation, this first one that I'm going to share, was given to Eve Brast on the 19th of this December of 2017. We called it Unharmed by the Pestilent Snow. And Eve said, I only remember the very end of this dream. But I can tell you one thing, this dream is very conclusive. You know, it's very, everything you need is there to escape, really. And I believe that sometimes you only remember part is because part of it is for your subconscious, which God is going to use in you. And the other part is for everybody, so you remember it to give it to everybody, right? So, anyway, the dream, she said, the dream started out with me floating in the spirit above the whole scene of the dream. And in this text, I believe Eve is a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus. And she is in heavenly places by abiding in Christ. And, of course, that's the place to be for all of your provision, right? Ephesians 1 and 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Abide in Christ, saints. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. This is all provided for us in Christ. Also, all provision is provided for us in Christ. Also, all protection is provided for us in Christ. And all deliverance from every sin is all provided in Christ, among other things. So, if you abide there, you have all the benefits of the kingdom. Eve said, I saw myself standing in the midst of a large crowd of people. There was a smaller group of people immediately around me. We were a separate little circle of people. And, of course, this inner circle, I believe, represents the true Christian believers around the bride. So she was in the midst, and then there was this circle around her, you know, true believers that are around the bride, associated with the bride, not necessarily a part of the bride yet, you know. And I believe these are bearing the fruit of Jesus, but just not yet arrived in the bride, because she was in the center representing the bride. Okay, so the configuration of the crowd, she said, was it looked like a target from the air. In other words, a circle on a circle on a circle, right? She said, I, that is Eve as the bride, I at the center, and the small group of people around me being the next ring. And you might think this is geography, but it's not. It has nothing to do with geography. You know, there's people out there that are close to the bride. Doesn't matter where they are. They could be around the world or on the other side of the world, right? And then the rest of the masses being the outer ring. So, it just went out and out and out. I believe the outer ring of is unbelievers, including tares, goats, you know, many of these parables, apostate Christianity, and also the world, because they're all one. You know, they don't want to lose their life, and they're hanging to their first life, right? And let me say that the target of the deep state shadow government is primarily Christians, because these people are Satanists who hate Christians above all people. And they're factious and full of witchcraft. And they sacrifice children for the power power from Satan. And but what they don't know is that they are part of the outer circle. And the plague will take many of them down too. Not just the worldly people, but them too. But these people are vessels used of God, who wants to judge those in the outer circle who persecute and pollute the bride with their leaven, and so on. They've always had this group, always out there, always persecuting the saints. They claim to be Christians, but they're not. And these are part of Babylon. Listen, the apostate Christians are part of Babylon. They're not a part of the church. They're backslidden, and where are they backslidden to? They've been taken captive to Babylon. They do not have the Passover blood on their doorposts to protect them from the plague. And we'll share more about that. But part of these are Pharaoh's army, who will be destroyed at the spiritual Red Sea before the Christians go into their wilderness tribulation. And God also told me that he will deliver faithful people from being unequally yoked to these unfruitful antichrists, either through marriage or other ways. You know, sometimes a person is being held back because they have some allegiance, of course, to their mate, and their mate is antichrist. Well, and of course, you always pray that your mate will be saved and delivered. And the Lord knows that sometimes people are successful, and sometimes these people are not chosen, and they just don't grow. So this plague will separate the wheat from the tares through their death, so that his people will be free to serve him alone. He doesn't want his people to be distracted. He wants them to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And these people don't permit that. Their mate many times keeps them back, don't permit that. Could be even a business partner or something like that. Unequally yoked can cover a lot of things, right? But the Lord told me he was going to set some people free. Remember, at the Red Sea, the people were set free from Egypt. If that means cutting somebody off, then God will do that too. However, I want to say this to you, that I know some people that the Lord told me are going to be cut off, but I went to seek the Lord to find out if he wouldn't save them as they were being cut off. And let me tell you, a plague is a perfect thing for that, because once you know you got it, you know your end is near, and you start calling upon the Lord, getting things right. So it's perfect. If the person's got anything in them, it can come to them at that time. And also, some Christians would not stand in the tribulation to come, so they'll be saved and then taken out. And also, some of these believe that Jesus took away their sins and are forgiven, but they don't believe in the Passover of the curse, which Jesus also bore, like in Psalm 91. And therefore, these people are going to die, because be it unto you according to your faith, right? Isaiah 57:1 says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." From the evil to come. Some people would not stand. They don't have the doctrine to stand. Whatever they don't have, that's keeping them from making it. And the Lord knows that. And of course, they may have had a mate that was praying for them, "Lord, if they're not going to make it, take them out, saved, you know. So, God's merciful. So, that's just different people, I think, are going to be taken out in this coming plague thing. And other judgments, you know, the earthquakes and tsunamis and things like that, too. There's always those different reasons for people going out, you know. Eve said, the small group immediately around me were looking to me for hope and reassurance. I was dressed in a dark blue top and blue jeans that were given to me by David. Well, there's something spiritual about this, because, you know, the David Manchild Company is the one who dresses up the bride in the works and the walk of Jesus. Right? You know how John said of Jesus and the people following him, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Right? So, what dressing them up in the works and the walk of Jesus is, it just means that the doctrine that brings the works of Christ is being taught by the man child David's to the bride. And, by the way, when Jesus raised up that bride, they went out and restored the fivefold ministry and began to teach the same things, you know. So that it was an ever broadening circle going outward, right? People being saved. And, you know, Revelation 19 and 7 says, let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Let us give the glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen. So this clothing is important, because it goes on to say it's bright and pure. It's lampros, a glowing lamp. And you'll see in a minute that there was a light shining on her, right? Fine linen, bright and pure. It wasn't just white, it was bright. That's lampros, right? For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, there's no curse on people who are walking righteously before the Lord. And Romans 13:11, and this knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep, because many people are not growing in the Lord. I mean, you know, they're just not growing in the Lord. They're not doing anything with what's been given to them. They've heard it until they don't listen anymore in many cases. They're sleeping. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed, but also, folks, judgment is nearer to us than when we first believed, too. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. This is more important now than it's ever been. Cast off the works of darkness. So you're casting off a garment here, you see. And the garment of some is spotted by the flesh. The Bible says to hate the garment spotted by the flesh, right? Because that's your works. These are works of darkness when you're spotted by the flesh, right? And let us put on the armor of light. There it is, their glowing garment, right? It's also their defense. It's armor. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and in drunkenness. Many people are just acting like they're just here to please themselves instead of serving the Lord. You know, they're drunken on food, they're drunken on drink, they're drunken on the cares of this life. They're out of touch with reality, because the things that are important to them are all idols, right? Not in chambering and wantonness. Yeah, some people have a problem with that. They, you know, anything can be to excess, you know. And if a person, that's all they got on their mind, well, for goodness sake, you know, they're not going to make it. Not in strife and jealousy. Of course, there's a lot of strife and jealousy out there. There's a lack of love and kindness from a lot of people who are in the outer circle, by the way, you know, because they're not really covered by the blood. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And that kind of puts you in the outer circle, right? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So fulfill the acts of Christ. Don't fulfill the acts of your flesh. right? After all, grace is given to us to change our actions so that we sow a different seed that's a heavenly seed so that we can have a heavenly reward, right? Amen. And then he said, they were desperately clinging to my clothing. The clothing, because the clothing is what's important here, right? No? They were desperately clinging to my clothing and looking towards me as their example. Well, obviously, because the clothing is works. They want to know what are the works that will escape. You know, they've seen that Jesus in the bride is an example of how to live above the curse. It's mentioned, by the way, in Deuteronomy 28, which covers everything that's detrimental to man. You know, the curse is everything that is detrimental to man. You know, Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Of course, the tree is the cross. And our curse was put upon Jesus. And as we believe that, of course, we get the benefit of it. If we don't believe that this is, and which most of the church doesn't believe that right now, frankly. They don't believe in deliverance from the curse of sin and of death. They believe in the curse, the deliverance of the sin in some ways, but not completely. And they don't believe in the deliverance from the curse of death, which is all the curse that comes upon the person who is sinning, right? Healing, deliverance, provision, on and on, you know. Deliverance from death. So there is there's safety under the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus. Exodus 12 and 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you. No plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Well, that's the outer circle, and it also includes the mixed multitude. That's the apostates. That's the people that are half Egyptian and half Israelite, you know, some of which went into the wilderness with them, but many of which, because they had a little bit too much Egypt in them, died in Egypt. So, remember, according to our type, that there was a Passover from a plague before the Israelites went into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 proclaim to be the 7 years of tribulation, the first 3.5 and the second 3.5, respectively. So, at this time, we're looking for this plague, you know. So, how do we walk under the Passover blood? This has got to be the most important thing here, you know. 1 John 1 and 5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light. Now, what we're going to see is the bride is standing in a light. Okay? God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So if you're abiding in God, you're abiding in the light, which is what? His word is light, right? It's the truth. It's the light. It's what dispels the darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's the light of his word, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Have fellowship. If you're walking in the light, you have fellowship one with another. Yes. What happens in the faction? Oh, they break fellowship. because they're critical, unforgiving. They don't have any faith whatsoever for you. All their faith is for them, and they don't have any of that either. So, but they don't have fellowship, so they're not walking in the light. So how do you get yourself cleansed by the blood? It doesn't happen. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What cuts off fellowship? Criticism, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, wrath, just on and on and on, you know. So, as we've seen in our last broadcast, these people are going to get taken out because they're not under the blood. It's not on their doorposts. They don't walk under the blood. And if you're cleansed from sin, you're not under the curse. So if you're having fellowship and you're forgiving and you're loving others and you want the best for them and you're believing for them to change and be delivered of sin and corruption and whatever, you know, if you're believing for them, then you can walk out from under the curse. This clothing of faith in the Word and works will save them, and they seem to know it because they're gathering around the bride, clinging to her clothes. Something magic about these clothes. Well, it is. It's works. And God's going to render to every man according to his works. Which means some people are going to be taken out with the plague. So, in Exodus 15 and 26, look at the condition here to escape the plague. He said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee." I will put none of the diseases upon thee. Who is it that ultimately puts everything on anybody? John said, "A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven." When you read Deuteronomy 28, he says over and over, "I'm going to put this on you. If you disobey, yeah, I'm going to put this on you. I'm going to put," and it just goes through a whole list. And he even says at the end of that, "And if it's not written here, I'm going to put that on you too." So it's everything, really. It's everything. So if you hearken to his voice and do that which is right in his eyes. He's telling you so you can't get out of it, because some people don't obviously think his voice is the Word of God. But he's narrowing it down here. He's saying, "And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians." Okay, so he's admitting that some of his people will get the same treatment that the Egyptians do, because they're disobedient. Notice that. So here's your outer circle here. It's the lost as well as the rebellious saved who do not believe and act upon it. "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." And Eve went on to say, "It was very dark all around us except for a light that shone down on me from above that got dimmer and dimmer the further away from me that the people were." So it was very bright where Eve was, and then it got dimmer as you went out to the larger circle. Okay, less light, less glory of God, and more possibility that you'll get taken out by the curse. The further we are from the glory of God, which is the bride is being created as an example of the glory of God. The further we are from the glory of God, from being like that bride, which is Christ-likeness, the more the curse we're susceptible to. The further you get away from her, the more susceptible you are to the curse. And the more we add or subtract from the Word, the more we are susceptible to the curse. Revelation 22:18-19, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city. So in their body they partake of the plagues in the book. And after they have left this life, they'll lose their part in the tree of life and out of the holy city, which is the bride, which are written in this book. So notice, God will put the plagues on those who depart from the word. Plain and simple. And what were they afraid of that made them want to be close to the godliness of the bride and cling to her clothing? The plague. She said snow was falling down upon all the people. In other words, the good and the bad was falling on all the people. And as it landed on the faces of the dimmer people, they began to fall to the ground dead and dying in agony. Well, now that should make the rest of them sit up and take notice. You seeing people falling like in Psalm 91, on your right and on your left, thousands of them, and you know that that same stuff fell on you. You see them die. You got a little bit of time there to say, Lord, please forgive me. I've been a fool. I've departed from your word. Grant me grace, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Take away my sins. I believe that Jesus bore the curse for me, and I believe he took away my sins, etc., etc. So the pestilence snow, the Lord told us, would come in parts 1 and 2 that we've shared. The plague spread from above. And I say likely by many chemtrail planes. And I think we've got a confirmation of this as I share the rest of this with you. I asked for a word by faith at random concerning the pestilent snow that was falling on the outer masses of people, and received Hosea 7 and 10, and in context 10 through 16. Hosea 7 and 10. And the pride of Israel, now remember, Israel is a type of the church, whereas Jerusalem is a type of the bride, right? The larger church. The pride of Israel doth testify to his face, yet they have not returned unto the Lord their God, nor sought him for all of this. And Ephraim is like a silly dove without understanding. They call unto Egypt. They go unto Assyria. Well, Ephraim is rebuked quite often. Their faith is always in man, who cannot save, but they run to men every time they get in trouble instead of running to God, you know. Of course, they worshiped the golden calf, so they really didn't know God. Even though they proclaim Christianity, they are not manifesting it, not bearing the fruit of it. Verse 12, and when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. In other words, he's not going to let them escape by running to man. I will bring them down as the birds of the heavens. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have wandered from me. Yes, they're far from the bride, who is the most like God, the one who has the most glory of God shining forth from her. You know that people, more and more of the word that lives in a person, the more they glow in the spirit realm. People can see it sometimes. I've seen it before. Other people have seen it on me before. They've wandered from me. They're getting out there where it's not so shiny. Destruction unto them. Well, that's exactly what happened. Now she got this by faith at random. Some people say, oh, you can't do that. Well, just pay attention here. If you can't see this, you're in trouble. You're probably out there in the dark. They've wandered from me, destruction unto them. They've trespassed against me. And though I would redeem them, yet they have spoken lies against me. In other words, they're adding to the word, taking away from the word. They're speaking the lies. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies, the Lord says. Yeah. And they have not cried unto me with their heart. With your heart. Crocodile tears, maybe, but not with their heart. But they howl upon their beds. They assemble themselves for grain and new wine, but they rebel against me. That's witchcraft, isn't it? Yes. And though I have taught and strengthened their arms, yet do they devise mischief against me. You know why? Because whatsoever you've done to the very least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You see, if you mistreat your brethren, even the least, you are mistreating Jesus. And when you devise mischief against God's children, you're doing it against Him. He said, they return, but not unto Him that's on high. What are they returning to? Well, you remember 9-1-1? What happened to them? Oh, they filled the churches up. So they returned to religion, but not to Him that's on high. They're like a deceitful bow. Yeah, don't shoot straight. Sometimes they shoot themselves. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. Yeah, these people out there that are railing at other people, are factious, and their leadership is the same way. He said, this shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. They're out there in the darkness. They're not close to the bride. They don't have the works of the bride. And they get taken out. Then I was pulled into my body, which was, you know, she was watching this from above, and then she was pulled into her body. Very spiritual, right? And the rest of the dream continued from my perspective inside myself. I was telling the group around me, don't worry. Of course, they are worried. I mean, they're dropping dead all around them, right? She says, don't worry, look. And then I lifted up my face towards the heaven and let the snow fall on my face and opened my mouth to allow the snow to fill my mouth. It was a very strange snow to me. It wasn't cold, nor did it melt upon coming in contact with the warmth of my mouth. Interesting. Now, I mean, she wasn't afraid. You know, fear just absorbs the curse, doesn't it? Yeah. She wasn't afraid. Witnesses, myself included, have seen this strange snow that she's talking about. She wasn't here to see it. She didn't see it, but we saw it. And it was tested on us, except it didn't have any plague in it. But it's already been tested. It did not melt with a match on it. I'm telling you what the people here all saw. Okay, well, I don't know if all of them saw, but a good many of them did see it because we experimented on it. And instead of flakes, it was short little needles, maybe half inch long or something like that, which you could see if you looked really close. We inspected that stuff. Says, what is this? This is not snow. Then they, after they did that, they gave it a name. You know, like they give the chem clouds names. Since you got clouds showing up now that don't look like all the clouds you did when you were a child or something, you know, they have to give it names and make it official that this is a real cloud. No, it's not. They think you're stupid. So she said, I asked for a word by faith at random concerning myself in the dream opening my mouth. and the snow being like manna instead of the curse and judgment. And my finger was on Isaiah 60:1, for thy light has come. And in context, it's 1 through 12. Well, notice, a light shined on the bride. For she said, a light that shone down on me from above, right? So listen to this text, which you got by faith at random. Okay, Isaiah 60:1. Some of you know it by heart. Arise and shine. She's shining. Okay, amazing, right? Shining. For thy light is come. Ooh, there it is. Perfect fulfillment, right? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So that's what that light is, right? It's the glory of the Lord. It's that word living in you. And of course, this text is speaking to the bride, Jerusalem, right? Zion. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Fits perfectly. And gross darkness the peoples. Fits perfectly. But the Lord will arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee, and nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. She's put on those works of righteousness. Well, notice, the righteous from among the nations clung to the bride, as in the revelation we just read here. They clung to her who was in the light of the glory of God for their safety. Okay. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Yep, right there in the middle of the bullseye. Right. Thy sons come from afar. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. They're coming. They want to be around the bride. They know there's something there. They know there's something there that they need to learn. They know there's something there that will protect them from evil. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. So what is the abundance of the sea that will come to the bride? It's the peoples of the world, along with their riches, spiritual and physical, in a time when Revelation 17:15 points out, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So he's just pointing out here that the abundance of the sea represents the people of the world coming into the kingdom, or the people that are just have religion coming into the kingdom, or the apostates coming into the kingdom. Walking in the kingdom is walking where you serve God, right? Pretty neat, huh? So let's do verse 10 too while we're at it. And foreigners shall build up thy, that's Zion the bride, walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, because obviously the bride has been going through a crucifixion, a warfare. Faction in particular is making war against them, persecuting them. The wicked are persecuting them, speaking against them. And especially their King David, right? But in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Thy gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. Does it sound familiar? Sure does. Sounds like Revelation. That men may bring into thee, unto thee, the wealth of the nations, and their kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve thee, that is the bride, shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Yes, especially those that persecute the bride. So Eve went on to say, the snow had a fluffy texture to it, and I chewed it and swallowed it. Well, that's not very deadly to her, but it sure is killing those people out there in the outer circle, right? And this is how faith in the promises saves us. If you lose faith, you lose the Passover. You know what happens when a person gets faction or criticism against others? They lose their faith. Mm-hmm. Because God takes it away from them. It's a gift of God. He can take it if he wants to. And he's not pleased with someone. He'll take their faith from them. Beware lest your conscience is defiled by willful sin, because you will not have faith. You walk in willful disobedience, you will not have faith. 1 John 3:21 says, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. You want bold faith towards God? You know, walk where you're not condemned, either legally or illegally, because the devil likes to condemn people illegally, you know, because he knows they can't have faith and condemnation at the same time. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Some people don't have enough fear of the Lord to keep his commandments, and they don't think it's necessary. They've even got doctrines out there like that. Once saved, always saved. You don't have to keep his commandments. They call that works. They don't realize it's the works of God in you. It's not their works. Righteousness is not man's work. Right? So, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, the gifts of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. That's God's works. The first works is our works. The last work is God's work. We have to have works. If you don't have works, you don't have faith. Faith without works is dead. But they lie. They think they can have faith without having works. So beware of willful disobedience, or you will not be under the blood. Hebrews 10:26 says, if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. So it's judgment. If it's a plague, it's a plague. If it's a tsunami, it's a tsunami. You can't escape if you're walking in willful disobedience. You don't have a blood covering. Sins of failure or ignorance are all under the blood. There is no condemnation. You know, Paul got a lesson in this when he wanted desperately to serve God, but was failing him. Now, he didn't live in this place all of his life. It was the beginning of a revelation for him. In Romans 7:19, he said, for the good which I would, I do not. He wanted to do good. See that? I do not. But the evil which I would not, he did not want to do evil, that I practice. But if I would not, if what I would not, that I do, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. Well, that's neat. And down in verse 24 it says, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? He was miserable because he was failing God, and he wanted to please God. And he got a revelation. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So, because it's not him that's doing it, it's the sin that dwelleth in him. He's against the sin. And God is even recognizing the difference. God's enemy is that sin. He wants to take that out of you. But you've got to give him faith to get there. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. So, how are we in Christ Jesus? By faith that his blood took away our sins at the cross. If you believe this, you must cast down condemnation and fear, both of which give the devil rights to destroy you because they rob your faith. Fear and condemnation are actually faith in the curse. And when you have whatsoever you have faith for, that's what you're going to have, right? As you have believed, so shall it be unto you, Jesus said, right? So faith and condemnation are faith in the curse, which demands judgment, including the plague. Fear and condemnation righteously comes on those who are on willful disobedience because they don't have a blood covering. But it doesn't righteously come on somebody who's failing God or is ignorant of something. It doesn't come on them righteously, and they should cast it down. The devil tries that trick to everybody because it works so good. Those are two of his big guns, fear and condemnation. Both of these will cause you to get killed with a plague. Right when you need to have faith and boldness, and fear and condemnation jump on you, because he waits for something that you see in order to jump on you with these spirits, right? That's the time when you need to be used to casting this off and understand why you can cast this off legally. You need to know this now. You need to study this. You need to read Romans 4 through 7 and even into 8, right? And think about it. Meditate on it. This has to be automatic. It's like driving a car. If you're not used to driving a car and you get in a difficult situation, you need to automatically be able to react because you're so used to doing the right things. It's the same thing now. You need to be used to understanding how you can cast off fear and condemnation and believe God's word and how important it is to save your life. It's got to come automatically. You have to react, you know, by your inner consciousness. You need to react the right way. And then Eve said, "The snow reminded me of what I had always imagined the manna from heaven was like to the Israelites." Well, that's different, isn't it? Why is it death to some but life to others? Because it represents the word. And Jesus said that he was the manna and he is the word made flesh. The word is life to those who believe, and the curse of death to those who don't. So you see, it can kill some and give life to others. She was just eating it up. Deuteronomy 30 and 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death." And where is it? Right there in the word. "And blessing and the curse." Well, where is it? Right there in the word. "Therefore choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed." Are you teaching your children? Are you teaching your mate? Are you teaching them how to escape this? She said, "Only this had no taste at all and was completely harmless to me. I felt no threat whatsoever," because she was in the light. "And her clothes were the good clothes of righteous acts," right? "The people around me were amazed that I was harmed. I wasn't harmed by it the way everyone in the outer circle was. This gave them hope and courage that they too could survive the judgment." Mm-hmm. You got to show people around you how. And you might as well start now. And of course, they wanted to be dressed up in the armor of God, the faith and the works of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, feared no sickness. He went out there and laid his hands on everybody, you know, and spoke it. When he prayed for all kinds of sicknesses and things, and he didn't catch one of them, did he? Never even thought he would catch it, did he? I've always told people that I wouldn't catch their sickness. Once I was repairing a sewer line for a man who was dying from HIV. There were people in the house that they were washing everything with Clorox and handling anything that he handled with, and washing it with Clorox. They were doing all that. And these people told me to wear gloves so you don't catch the disease, because I was working on the sewer line, you know. I told them, there's no problem, because I can't catch this disease. And because Jesus bore my curse. I've been told by parents before that they couldn't come to our meeting because they or their children had some disease, sometimes a childhood disease, you know. And I've told them, you can come, because nobody here is going to catch it. And I've never seen anybody catch it when they did this. When we did this, when I did this, you know. And this has never been proved to be wrong that I know of when I confessed the word by faith. So Eve said, I asked for a word by faith at random for this dream and received Proverbs 31 in context 8 through 31. And these are all the qualities of those who are in the bride, which Father is using me to represent in the dream. I agree. And these, by the way, these qualities are also her works or garments, you see. She said, I think it's interesting that verse 8 begins, open thy mouth. Okay, she received this by faith at random. And that's what she got. She put her finger down with, open thy mouth. I begin to quote from there. Okay? So, Proverbs 31 and 8. Open thy mouth, for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are left desolate. In other words, speak for the people around the bride. The bride is speaking to the people around her. The bride will speak for the true people of God who are in covenant with him, just like it was with Esther in Song of Solomon. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, minister justice to the poor and needy. Yes, there are many poor and needy among God's people. I'm talking about spiritually poor and needy. They need correction, they need exhortation, they need building up, they need faith. Open your mouth, give it to them, you that know what you're talking about. A worthy woman who can find, for her price is far above rubies. Well, the bride is mature and beautiful to the Lord, her husband, and the much larger church is not. The larger church is in trouble because there's so much apostasy and falling away and lack of the knowledge of the light of God which saves people. Song of Solomon 6 and 8 says there were 70 queens. There are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. But my dove, my undefiled or my perfect one, is but one. The Shulamite, by the way, means the perfect one, right? Is but one. So, a worthy woman, who can find? Fits, doesn't it? Yeah. She is the only one of her mother. So she's more rare than people think. I mean, a lot of people think the whole church is the bride, which is ridiculous. She is the choice one of her that bear her, the chosen one, the bride that's chosen out of the church. Right? You can see that. The heart of her husband, that's Jesus, trusteth in her. He shall have no lack of gain, because she bears him fruit. She bears fruit for him. He sows his seed in her, and she bears fruit for him. Right? She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. Oh yes, we want to please the Lord. That's what we need to do. Please the Lord. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. So she's making clothing for others, right? She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her bread from afar. Yeah, even from the Old Testament, a couple thousand years ago, she brings bread, right? Interesting. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth food to her household. Amen. All the children of the bride chamber, right? And their task to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Jesus said the field is the world, which she will inherit. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. That's the Lord's vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and maketh strong her arms. Well, her strength is the arm of the Lord, right? She perceiveth that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goeth not out by night. Yep, she's shining out there in the night even. There was night all around her, yet the light was on her. She layeth her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. And what's she doing? She's making clothing for her children about the righteous works of Jesus, right? She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy to build them up through the gospel. That's what I say. She is not afraid of the snow. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. So they got nice clothes. You know, they're clutching to those clothes of that bride, right? That's what I need, Mama. Give me that. She eats pestilent snow for breakfast, right? She maketh for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She's clothed in the righteous acts of the saints. Her husband, which is Jesus, is the husband of the bride, is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh linen garments and selleth them, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. So she's dressed up with the works of Jesus, right? And she laugheth at the time to come. Oh, yeah. She has no fear. She can eat that snow for breakfast. She has no fear of the future curse. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. So the bride is kind. She loves the brethren. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. In other words, she's pleasing her husband and working for him and teaching her children and clothing them. She's not running around out there pleasing the flesh, having a big party. I know Christians that do that. That's all they do. They live to eat. They live to play. But they don't have a work to do for the Lord. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, saying, many daughters have done worthily, but thou excellest them all. Yeah, just like the bride in Esther and Song of Solomon, they excelled above the rest of God's people. Grace is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Yeah, she's humble, humble to the word, because she fears the Lord. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates. Amen. That's those garments, right? She bears the fruit of her husband, Jesus. Oh, how good. Thank you, Father. Okay, well, Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And we're going to go right into some more teaching here. So I hope you'll just stick with us. God bless you and keep you.